You're listening to the Effortless Life Podcast, episode 49. Did you know that burnout costs the U.S. over $300 billion every year? $300 billion due to entrepreneurial firm failure. That's a crazy statistic, isn't it? That means that because of the stress and overwhelm and overwork that so often comes with entrepreneurship, that business owners are closing the doors to their dreams because they just can't handle it. That breaks my heart. Which is why today, my special guest and I are talking about some effective strategies for increasing your energy and protecting your energy as an entrepreneur and taking better care of the human behind the business, you. Because how do you expect your business to grow and thrive when you aren't growing and thriving? Question worth thinking about, right? We're unpacking all of that on today's episode, so stay tuned.
Globally ranked among the top shows in business and education, we're changing the way entrepreneurs work by changing the way they think about work. If you're ready to run your business like a real CEO, instead of your business running you, you're in the right place. You don't have to work as hard as you think you do to create the influence, income, and impact you deserve. It's time for a new way to do business. This is the Effortless Life Podcast. Here's your host, Courtney Elmer.
All right, before we jump in today, I want to give a shout out to our featured listener of the week, at Jackie D, who says, "We need this podcast. Like most entrepreneurs, I have found myself stressed and burnt out more times than I can count. So if you're looking for guidance and permission to slow down and go for your dreams at the same time, this podcast was made for you." That's amazing. Thank you so much, Jackie. That means a ton to know that what we're doing here at The Effortless Life is helping entrepreneurs like you and having such a tremendous, noticeable impact on your life. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to get clear on where you're going so that you know how to get there and to work on that critical mindset piece that is part and parcel of this journey of entrepreneurship, because you've got to learn how to remove whatever's standing in the way. And I love reading you guys' reviews that come in every week. I read every single one. And more importantly, I love giving you a shout out here on this show as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal listener and also to celebrate you and the progress that you're making in your life and business. So when this episode ends, take 30 seconds, leave us a 5-star review and let us know how this show has impacted your life so that I can celebrate you right here on an upcoming episode. Entrepreneurship, right? The ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the energy, the exhaustion. If you've been in your business for any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And as the CEO of a company focused on helping entrepreneurs scale their business without burning out, it might come as a surprise to learn that I have a huge problem with the self-care movement trending today. You want to know why? It's because all of those quick fix tips that are heralded as solutions to bounce back from burnout, like take a walk, talk with a friend, meditate, journal, soak in the tub, yada, yada, yada. Those are just cheap band-aids for a gaping wound in our rise and grind culture. They might slow the bleeding, but they're not going to hold for long because they aren't the remedy to the real problem. For starters, when you're burnt out, you don't need a list of more things to do because you have enough going on as it is. Your energy is at an all-time low when you're burnt out. So the last thing you need to do is add more to your plate. Also, I can't stand tips like these because none of them help you understand why you're suffering from burnout in the first place. Now, you might have heard me say this before, and I'll probably say it again at some point in the future, is that growth that depends on your effort, which is a limited resource, will always be stunted. Think about that. If you're building your business on limited resources, your effort, your willpower, time, then you're going to get limited results, aren't you? So doing more isn't the answer. Makes sense when you start to think about it, doesn't it? See, most entrepreneurs are asking themselves the wrong question. They're asking, how do I recover from burnout? But the real question you need to be asking yourself, the far better question is this: how do I avoid burnout in the first place? And lucky for you, I have a very special guest here on the show with me today, who is a culinary nutrition expert, a celebrity nutritional chef and a certified wellness counselor out of New York City, Melissa Eboli, who's going to show you how to boost your energy, reduce stress, and enhance your mental focus and performance simply by swapping out some of the foods you eat. What? Who knew getting rid of stress could be so simple, right? Melissa makes regular appearances on Dr. Oz. I know, pretty amazing. She's awesome, I'm telling you. And she has also been sought out and featured in the New York Times, Forbes, Reader's Digest, and many more publications for her knowledge and expertise on mental wellness and physical performance through nutrition. Now, when you're an entrepreneur, it can sometimes feel like this ongoing struggle to gain traction and momentum in your business when your energy feels unpredictable. So most entrepreneurs turn to caffeine or time blocking or organizing and productivity hacks to try and manage their time and find more energy, but they've got it all wrong. Taking care of you and learning how to become a master at managing your energy is the first essential ingredient in the recipe of entrepreneurial success. And celebrity chef Melissa is ready to dish on how to do exactly that. See what I did there? All right. Enough with the food puns. Let's get to the good stuff and roll the tape on this interview. Melissa, I'm so excited that you are here today. And I just want to welcome you to the Effortless Life podcast and to thank you so much for your time and for being with us. I'm excited for our conversation.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Courtney. I am excited to be here.
Yay! Well, look, I want to dive right in and get started because you have a really powerful story and you've been on an incredible journey. And so let's start there. Tell us your story, your journey, and what really inspired you to start your business.
So how much time do we have? Because the story can take a while. No, okay. So pretty much my wellness journey, I would say, started originally in my early 20s. And at the time, I was really into like fitness and nutrition. So I thought I was eating healthy at the time. But back then, I was doing more of like what you would call mass marketed healthy, you know, doing Atkins diet and eating whole grain this, whole grain that. But I wasn't really focusing on organic. And concurrently at that time, I had a health issue called amenorrhea, which was actually, it's for anybody that doesn't know that, it's absent period. And it's actually because I wound up becoming underweight. I wasn't necessarily anorexic, but my weight was just too low that I wouldn't produce a period. And after my bout with that, I decided to become certified as a nutritionist. And when I was then working with clients and doing meal plans for them, they didn't really know their way around the kitchen. And at that time, I was just a home-trained chef, you know, come from this huge Italian family, always around food. So, you know, cooking a big feast was just natural in my blood. So when I was, you know, working with these clients, I would just offer then another service. And I'd say, okay, well, if you don't know how to prepare certain meals, let's do kind of like a cooking lesson or meal prep session. And so I kind of started dabbing into the cooking thing around that time. Fortunately, but unfortunately, when running my nutrition business at the time, back in from 2008 to 10, it was during the global financial crisis, and having a business model based on disposable income that people didn't really have at the time wasn't viable. So I ended up going back to the corporate world, although my burning desire was to be an entrepreneur, such a struggle, but I did. So I went back to the corporate world and I worked in sales for almost 7 years selling luxury kitchen appliances. And it was a great job, but it came with a lot of accountability and a lot of stress. So I started the job early 2010. And then by about 2013, 2014, I had an onset of allergies and health issues. It started with asthma. Then I ended up having multiple chemical sensitivity. Then that developed into chronic fatigue and it was just chronic stress. And then I was just kind of like doing this downward spiral in so many aspects of my life. Concurrently, then during this time frame, I also developed food allergies and sensitivities, specifically gluten, dairy, and shellfish. However, the foodie in me always loved to cook. So I'd have friends over for dinner parties and, you know, they would always love my food and they'd be like, oh my God, I love your stuff. You used to open a restaurant. And to me, the thought of a chef, you know, was just working in a restaurant. And I was like, no. It's like, I know what that lifestyle is. I want nothing to do with it. However, I loved food. And then with my onset of allergies, I was then developing all these creative new health focused recipes that I was like, I need to get the word out about them. And I still knew deep down, you know, even though I was working my 9-to-5, that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And fortunately, but unfortunately, in June of 2016, my mom had actually been diagnosed with breast cancer. And her diagnosis hit me really, really hard. And I essentially had a pivot in my life and an awakening in a sense. And I was like, you know what? Life is short and you never know what curveballs it will throw out at you. So on random whim, you know, with her diagnosis, I decided to quit my job. And I was like, you know what? I want to be a health advocate rather, and, you know, kind of get the word out about healthy eating, because there's such a correlation, especially with disease and, you know, healthy food and not eating the right things causing disease. So I quit my job and I then found this program online called the Academy of Culinary Nutrition, which was basically everything that I thought I was looking for. So it was a health focused program to become a chef. The designation is called a culinary nutrition expert. And I literally combined both worlds of nutrition and culinary into one. And then from doing the program, so the program was September of 2016, I then started to casually form a business plan. So my original intent was, having sold all those high-end kitchen appliances, I had a lot of connections with luxury showroom owners who had these gorgeous high-end kitchens that were almost never used. So I reached out to a lot of those showroom owners and I said, hey, as you know, I left my job, but I left to become a chef. And would you mind helping me as I springboard my business and trying to be very strategic in, you know, utilizing these partnerships? And I said, you know, it would bring customers back into your store. It would make your space an entertainment space. So it's kind of like a win-win. Many of them were well receiving of this idea with open arms. So while I was even in the program, so November of 2016, I did my first event. And I always remember this event because my very first one only had 3 attendees. And I felt at that point, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, I'm a failure. You know, like, this isn't going to work. Like, oh my God, I had so, so, so much doubt. But I also had this burning desire and inner, like, driving force internally. I was like, you know what? It's going to work. Maybe it was just bad timing. Maybe it wasn't marketed properly. So I had that first event, November 3rd, 2016, with only 3 people that showed up. And the event was Flavors of Fall, and I was doing a cooking demo, and everybody ate a full meal. But the 3 people that came, they all had a lovely time, had very positive things to say. Then I waited till the holiday season passed, and then I did my second event at a different showroom location, which I think was marketed a bit better. And it was called Post-Holiday Detox. Same thing, cooking demo, taught them how to make 4 dishes, focused around healthy food and detoxing foods. And that event sold out with 22 people, as that was the capacity at that specific location. And then I was like, okay, I'm on the right path. So then from doing those events, and then my program had also ended in January as well. So then I was officially certified as a chef. And then I started listing myself on a couple of different websites, like thumbtack.com was one of them, which was instrumental in growing my business. And then I did these events twice a month at different showrooms, where then people that came to the events were like, hey, would you mind doing a dinner party or catering an affair? And I was like, sure. I'm like, if I'm cooking in front of you or cooking for you, it's all cooking, so why not? And unbeknownst to me, it just kind of like snowballed and ramped up very, very, very quickly. But I always go back to thinking, wow, that first event, had I not gotten discouraged with those only 3 attendees, I don't know if I would be where I am today.
So. Wow, that's amazing. And you know what I love? I love the fact that, A, that you shared about those 3 attendees, because how many of us, right, we all start from zero. And when we're starting out our businesses, we have these huge, grandiose ideas. And then we have, you know, our first event or our first webinar or our first whatever it might be. Maybe there's only a handful of people that show up. I relate to this so much. The very first time we opened the doors to our digital academy, and we had 7 people enroll. And I had dreams for like 700 people, you know,
of course.
And yeah. You know, when you're comparing yourself to your own expectations, sometimes that discouragement and that sense of failure can kick in. Mm-hmm. And you chose to keep going. And, you know, it's amazing to hear, you know, I want to get into all the success that you have had and how specifically you created that, because you thought so strategically and outside of the box. And it's when we choose to continue putting one foot in front of the other and to hold on to that burning desire, like you said, like just to... Yeah. To know in your heart that it will work and to trust that. And that even though if you go down different paths, that maybe those paths don't work out, it doesn't mean your whole business won't work out.
Most definitely.
Yes. Well, I also really like the fact that you have chosen to follow this very unique, very specific path of culinary expertise and nutritional expertise and bring them into one, because you have people out there that know the culinary world and you have people out there that know the nutrition world, but you are the first person that I've ever met that's doing both all wrapped into one and actually teaching people about nutrition and how to take good care of themselves and also teaching them how to cook and to prepare the food for, you know, for them and their families to eat. And this is a theme that comes up again and again. It's really a philosophy that we hold here at The Effortless Life, where you have to take care of the human behind the business. If you're not taking care of that human, you know, the business can't thrive in the way that you want or expect it to. And most people have that backwards. They try to make the business work and to grow the business and to have a thriving business at the expense of themselves, their own health, their mental health, their sanity, their physical health. And so I'm just curious to know, you know, when you're working with clients and even doing cooking demonstrations and things, what are some of the chronic illnesses or issues that people are complaining about? And some of the things that maybe have surfaced for them that are now it's like a hot button. And they're like, I want to fix these issues. Teach me how to do it through my nutrition.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And I would say one of the, there's actually a lot of issues that I see concurrently, fortunately, but unfortunately, but that's why I'm here to help them. So a lot of people have stress, and from stress, you have anxiety and mental wellness. So there's a lot of foods that you can focus on for eating for mental wellness, such as, you know, high fat foods, such as walnuts and salmon and coconut oil, just to name a few. Then there's also a lot of people that have digestive issues and or arthritic pain, all of which are related to inflammation. So with those types of people, I then encourage an anti-inflammatory diet, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, are, you know, two of the bigger caveats, you know, for inflammation, as well as even, you know, reducing your meat intake, because meat can be very acidic. So doing like a, I'd say plant-based light diet, you know, I'm not a vegan, although it's funny, so many people out there, a lot of people just assume because I'm healthy that I'm a vegan chef, which is comical. And then I'm like, didn't you see those lamb chops that I just posted on my Insta? But it's because I don't do dairy. So naturally, if whatever I'm making doesn't have meat, eggs or honey in it, then I do post a lot of vegan recipes, but I just laugh at that because I have a lot of friends that chat, hey, she's a vegan chef. I'm like, hey, no, I'm not. Anyway, not that there's anything wrong with it. I actually consider myself, I know I'm kind of getting off topic now, but I consider myself a flexitarian because I don't eat meat all the time, but I do, you know, do eat it sometimes because there are benefits of the B vitamins that you do get meat versus the non-meat forms of B vitamins. It's just hard to get it from a plant-based perspective. At any rate, so going back to your original question. So yeah, there's a lot of, so I would say inflammation and definitely the stress, AKA anxiety, are the two bigger ailments that I do see with people a lot.
Yeah. Oh, and stress too, because I mean, I feel like, you know, that affects us on so many levels. And often what I find people think of stress as affecting them mentally, right? It's like, oh, I'm stressed. I have this feeling of being overwhelmed. I have this feeling of anxiety. And at the same time, they might not be aware of how stress is affecting them on a physical level. They might know intellectually, you know, that it is affecting me, but they're not really sure how. And so when you said that about eating for mental wellness, you know, and helping to reduce stress simply by swapping out and changing some of the foods you eat, for example, is fascinating, because not only does it feel doable, it feels simple. It feels like, wait, you mean that I could help to mitigate and better, you know, to reduce my stress levels simply by changing up some of the foods that I eat.
Yeah.
So for someone listening who's like, okay, yes, I would like to learn more about that, and please tell me exactly what I need to eat in order to help reduce or mitigate that stress in my life. So you mentioned high fat foods. What would you tell someone like that? You know, what would be some easy swaps that they could make in their diet to eat for better stress management?
Yeah, definitely. So for better stress management, I would say, I mean, it's one of the most obvious, but stay away from fried food, as fried food and acrylamide is directly correlated with stress, as well as, you know, processed food. Like, don't eat like cold cuts, the cured meats. Dairy and gluten are also attributed to inflammation, which could also cause stress. So I would also recommend for that type of person to eat anti-inflammatory diet, as well as, you know, like I said, the high fat food. So, you know, I know a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I'm on a diet, I'm staying away from fat. That is actually your friend. Good fats, of course. You know, the coconut oils, the avocados, nuts, like nuts in all forms. If you actually think about a walnut, when you have the shape of a whole walnut that's shelled, it's actually the shape of a brain. And it's really interesting that there's a lot of things in food and in nature that directly correlate to what their nutritional benefit is. And that's always one example that I absolutely love giving. So
that's awesome. I've heard that before. And also like the carrot, when you slice it on the cross section, it looks like an eye, and you know, like the beta carotene in a carrot, it's good for your eyes. And it's like nature leaves us clues. We just have to pay attention.
100%. And it's so funny. You must have read my mind, because I was thinking about the beta carotene one, and I almost said that next, but you said it for me.
That is funny. And it's funny because I haven't even thought about that, you know, in a long time, because as part of my own journey and health journey, and, you know, for those listening that have been listening for a while, they know through my battle with cancer and eating disorders and all these things that, you know, in my late teens, early 20s had dealt with, it really wreaked havoc on my health. And so having to really rebuild my health from the inside out, one of the first areas that I looked to was nutrition, and really learning about how the foods we put in our body can really help us perform at optimal levels of energy and mental clarity, or it can keep us from performing at those optimal levels.
Absolutely. And I like that you touched on like performing for energy. So a lot of people always ask, you know, what's the difference with like raw food versus cooked food? And just to like delve into that for a moment. So, you know, we eat like raw food, like a salad or a smoothie where the ingredients aren't cooked. They have naturally more enzymes and enzymes that are produced. So when you have raw food with enzymes, it helps your body to digest and assimilate it better and convert it into energy, because a calorie is a form of energy. On the flip side, when you do eat cooked food, you know, such as let's say if you're eating like steak or pasta or anything that's been heated, it's essentially, especially vegetables, like all vegetables are preferable eating raw or blanched where they still have their integrity, because all the enzymes at that point have then been depleted from said vegetable or said food. And your body then works that much harder to produce its own enzymes to then help break down that food. And that's why a lot of times, like people always say like, oh, I went to this restaurant, I had this great meal, I'm so tired afterwards. And the reason you're tired is because your body's working extra hard to produce those enzymes to actually even break down that meal.
That's fascinating. And most people think, oh, it's just because I overate, now I need a nap. When really it's because you're putting your body into a state where it, on a physical level, has to work harder and expend more energy to digest what you're eating. Wow. So one of the things that I would imagine, you probably hear this a lot, and I have also felt this even in my own nutritional journey throughout the years, is at times it can feel really overwhelming because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to know. And I know that some people might just push it away and say, I know I need to do that. I know I need to take better care of my health. I don't need to eat better. But I don't have time for that. I don't have time. I'm too busy. You know, I have all of these other things that I'm juggling right now. And so taking care of themselves kind of goes to the back burner as one of those, it would be nice if and when I have more time. Yeah. So how do you help people simplify, you know, in their daily routines, in their kitchen routines, and really, you know, focus on health and nutrition in a way that's simple with stuff that they can use that's already in their home, or, you know, with minimizing trips to the grocery store and things of that sort? Yeah.
Funny you should say that. So I actually just this spring put together a health-focused cookbook called Let's Dine In, Healthy Recipes and Tips to Minimize Your Shopping Trips. And to your point of what you were just saying, so, you know, it actually has grocery lists in there that correlate with a lot of the recipes. And it's really a matter of just having pantry staples on hand, having, you know, the dried stuff in your cupboards, maybe having the more fresh foods, you know, get frozen vegetables or get meats and freeze those, or having, you know, things that last in the fridge for a while. And then it's kind of like when you go to cook an easy meal and most of the meals take 30 minutes or less, and then they're all 4 to 6 servings. So it's almost like each meal you make is meal prepping, depending on how many people, of course, are in your household. So you're kind of just shopping from your own kitchen and then throwing something together that's health focused. So if you make 2 or 3 dishes that'll last you a couple of days, then you're only spending like an hour to an hour, hour and a half in the kitchen each week. So,
And that's what I love about your approach too, because, you know, you make it so easy and effortless to really be able to have these healthy meals and to nourish yourself. Again, take care of that human behind your business so that you can grow and thrive, your business can grow and thrive, and it doesn't take up a lot of time and energy. And also just by making some simple swaps and tweaks to what you're already eating in order to eat for stress reduction or to eat for optimized energy or to eat for better mental wellness. And I just find it something that not a lot of people are doing. More people need to be doing because it is so important. You know, it's that old cliche, health is wealth. And it's so true because mm-hmm. without your health, you know, there's not much there. You're not really able to do much in your life without your health. So that is huge. So you grew your business very quickly. And I want to segue a little bit into that and pivot a bit into some of the specific strategies that you use to increase your exposure and to grow your business. What did you say? You hosted over 200 events within the first 4 years of your business. Tell us about mm-hmm. that, because you have had some amazing media and press features. You grew very quickly. And, you know, that is something I think we all aspire to in our business. We want more of that brand visibility. We want more exposure. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we're just inundated and overwhelmed with tactics and these marketing things that it just feels like, what's really going to help me grow versus what's wasting my time? So I'm just curious to know, what were some of those strategies that you implemented into your business to grow?
Definitely. So I kind of alluded to it before, but I'll happily go into it in more details, of course. So I tapped into my existing network. So I would say for any budding entrepreneur that's doing anything, you know, see if there's anybody in your existing network that can really help you get those first steps or kind of help to get you going. So for me, I sold high-end appliances and I had all those showroom contacts. And I'm thinking, okay, well, for my business, I need to be in a kitchen and you guys have kitchens. So there's like a natural, you know, bridge that was right there. And then I also, funny enough, I actually stumbled upon Thumbtack when I was doing market research to see what other chefs were in the area. So I was like, oh, you know, let me just, and that's, you know, something that I encourage, like, you know, do your market research, see who your competitors are for what your industry is. And you might be surprised, like I found Thumbtack where there was a plethora of chefs listed on there. And then I was like, you know what, instead of seeing these other chefs on there, how can I get on the site? So, and I'm sure, you know, for so many other industries, there's probably like pool house type websites that you can see your competitors and get listed on as well, because any type of exposure is great. And then I'm always posting on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, both on my personal and my professional pages. Because you'd be surprised, like, especially the more frequently that you post, you never know who's watching. And I've had a bunch of brands reach out to me, say, oh my God, I love what you're doing. I love your content. Let's partner. So I've had a couple of brands that I was able to do sponsored posts with, some paid for, even just some for product exchange. But then it's a great mutual beneficial relationship, because then they're posting you on their site. So then you're getting exposure to their audience. And it's just all these great partnerships. And then also I've utilized Harrow to get a lot of my media published. So, you know, Harrow, Help a Reporter Out is huge, you know, in a wide variety of industries. There's so many great areas to get exposure, you know, especially for entrepreneurs, because there's always reporters or even producers looking to feature guests. So you can kind of help fit the piece of the puzzle for what they're looking for. And what's nice is, you know, let's say if somebody's featured you a couple of times, like I've been fortunate though, that some of those reporters actually just come directly to me and they're like, hey, we have this piece coming up. We know your experience. We know your backgrounds. Would you mind writing up for us? So, and it's just sort of like slowly just building those relationships. It didn't happen overnight, although I will say, I feel like everything went from 0 to 60 rather quickly, but you know, just being persistent and being consistent, you know, with your content, just constantly putting yourself out there, letting people know what you're doing. You know, they say, put it out in the universe and it'll come back tenfold. And I've always heard that. And I always did believe it, but I didn't necessarily experience it until this crazy journey that I've been on for the last couple of years. So I strongly encourage people to live by that mantra.
Yes. And those are some great resources too, just like you said, for putting yourself out there and getting your foot in the door, because it really does boil down to relationships. It's not what you know, it's who you know, right? In the business world, mm-hmm. as that saying goes. And it is true. I have found that in many, many ways. You know, it's about the relationships that you build and mm-hmm. how much value you lend to those relationships. And at the same time, in order to get out there and to find, you know, like say, for example, these reporters who now reach out to you, you had to put yourself out there. And you know, Harrow was a great way for you to do that. I'm curious too, because you have been featured on Dr. Oz, which is very impressive, but it hasn't just been one time that you've been on Dr. Oz, it's been multiple times. So tell me, what was that experience like? And what were some of the learnings and the ahas that you took away from that experience?
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. And again, that actually stemmed from Harrow. So the first time I got on the show or I got the call, I was like, wait, what? Who? Huh? You know, it was total shock, but total flattery, of course, at the same time. And, you know, even like being on Dr. Oz, you know, for anybody that has an opportunity to do any sort of media TV show, you know, there's other people that are usually in the waiting room, you know, backstage with you. And those are amazing networking opportunities as well. And, you know, so I went on the show. I'm trying to remember which one of the first segments was. I did so many. They're all kind of like jumbled together. But I know it's like, you know, I did one segment and I hit it off really well with the producers. And then I got on their casting call sheet. And then every now and again, when I saw emails come through, what they were looking for, I would just kind of respond and say, hey, you know, I'm free for this, you know, other set or segment rather, you know, happy to come in. So, but
that is
yeah.
Awesome.
Definitely my big the
same. Yes. Sure. I love this, the fact that you mentioned, you know, even in the green room waiting backstage, you know, to go on, that there's other people there and to leverage those opportunities too. So pay attention to who's in the room with you. And you can do that anywhere you go. You can do that at a local networking business event. You can do that backstage waiting to go on, you know, for a news segment or for whatever TV segment. You can do that at conferences. And I know right now in the COVID world, we're not maybe having as many live events as some of us are used to going to and attending. But a lot of those live events are being transferred online and connecting with people in Facebook groups, connecting with people in online forums. And again, seeking to add value and seeking to form those relationships first and foremost before anything else. And that really can take you far. And you're proof of that, which is awesome.
And it's actually funny you said that about the online networking events. So there's a couple of events that I would go to locally here in the Northeast. For instance, I have a friend that's the president of a group called the Greenwich Young Professional Association. And he, you know, normally I would sponsor events in person, whether I was doing a speak or giving food. And I actually, for that, as well as for a Rotary Club event that he's also a part of, he invited me on to come as a guest speaker. And they had a nutrition focus topic. And, you know, for both groups, I was a guest. And I also did it through him with the American Cancer Society. So I did like three different opportunities of doing these online networking events where I got to educate people, network, you know, become a featured speaker, but then also obviously be able to promote my business. And it was a great mutual beneficial relationship that I was able to do through those.
That's awesome. And that's what usually winds up happening is, you know, you meet one person who then connects you to so many other people in their network that you never could have imagined. Mm-hmm. So that's for those listening too, you know, who might feel a little bit timid or shy or not even shy, but just fearful of putting yourself out there, wondering or questioning, you know, is my stuff good enough? Am I ready yet? You know, am I at the place where I need to be, you know, to really go out there and shine? And often these fears can hold us back, but it's not about having all these relationships. It's just about having a few good ones because those can lead you to other things that will unfold and doors that will open for your business.
You want to focus on quality, not quantity, because especially, you know, when it comes to relationships and it's when there's quantity, it's hard to build that core foundation, to have that personal connection where you truly do build a friendship. I mean, you know, my friend, his name is Prem, like we've become very close. I met him 2 years ago randomly at a networking event and we've just hit it off and, you know, I help him out. He helps me out. And I have, you know, a handful of friends, Kristen, another great one, how we're here together today.
Yes.
Great relationship as well. So you never know.
That's it. I know our mutual friend, Kristen, who oddly enough, you met on Harrow and I met on Harrow and now we're all friends and now we're all getting together.
Exactly.
See, I know it's amazing. It's such a small world. And just that's how some of the best relationships are formed. And that really is such a key foundational piece for building a solid business, you know, not only taking care of the human behind it and also focusing on those relationships and how you can really build leverage from there, which is awesome. Yeah. So I have one final question for you, which I don't ever prep our guests to come on the show. I don't ever say, you know, because I love the raw answers. And what I'm curious to find out is, you know, what's the first answer that comes up for you whenever I ask this? And the question is, what's your definition of success?
That's a great question. And I guess for me, you know, coming from an entrepreneurial perspective, my definition of success is really being able to sustain and make it by your own merits. You know, I mean, having an income, you know, not working for the man and, you know, whether it's a little money or a lot of money, it doesn't even have to be a lot. You know, I mean, we're all entrepreneurs. Of course, we want to be rich one day, but even, you know, just having something coming in, it's such a rewarding and humbling feeling. And, you know, not even just the money. I mean, obviously, like, I'm very humbled and honored by, you know, all of the media exposure that I've had. And, you know, that would be kind of like my definition of success is just, you know, reaping the benefits from the efforts that you put out there and kind of seeing those benefits and seeing them grow.
Yeah, I love that. And seeing the ripple effect too. It's so fulfilling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Melissa, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know that everyone is listening is going to want to connect with you and learn more about what you do and say, Melissa, can you teach me, please teach me some nutritional stuff, teach me how to cook. Where can they find you online and connect with you and to get your cookbook?
Yeah, totally. So everybody can find me through my website, which is viaskitchen.com. V as in Victor, so V-I-A-S, kitchen.com. And my cookbook is actually sold right there directly on my website. And also on social media, you can find me under Chef Via Melissa. And one last thing I want to add, because you said, you know, everybody teach me. Because I can't really do live events right now, I actually am taking my business online, which this will also be listed on my website, is that I'll be offering online cooking classes starting late September, and I'll probably be running them through the spring. So definitely come on my website or check out my, you know, social media, Chef Via Melissa or Via's Kitchen, and you can find all about those there.
Awesome. We're going to link up to all of that in the show notes. I'm really excited about these cooking classes because I could learn a thing or two. My poor family eats, you know, chicken and broccoli most nights for dinner. Like, can we please just have something a little bit more interesting, not so boring? So that's awesome. And what a great way, you know, to even, you know, not only to learn about cooking, but to bring, you could probably, is this something that you could bring your kids into and have teach them and
totally
do it together with the family while we're all stuck in this quarantine world right now, and, you know, to have something fun to do and a learning experience for the whole family.
Definitely. For sure.
Awesome. Well, Melissa, thanks so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time and for all that you shared with us, and we'll have to have you back soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here, and I look forward to coming back again.
All right. If you aren't ready to run to the store and stock up on all of these brain-boosting, stress-reducing superfoods, then get out of here. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, then you already know that one of the four pillars to becoming an effortless CEO is prioritizing your well-being, and that includes eating well and taking care of yourself first and foremost. You can have the vision. You can have the action steps. You can work on your mindset. But until you have this one essential ingredient in place, taking care of you, it's going to feel a lot harder. And it's going to take you a lot longer to bring that vision that you have to life and to succeed as an entrepreneur. So here at The Effortless Life, we believe you do not have to work as hard as you think you do in order to succeed and have the greater income, influence, and impact that you want. We are anti-hustle here. So if you are ready to take the next step in becoming the visionary entrepreneur your business needs to succeed, then I want you to do this right now as soon as this episode ends. Head to CourtneyElmer.com/CEO, where you can get on the wait list to find out when doors to the Effortless CEO Academy are opening next. And when you enter your info there, you will also get instant access to a free video training mini series where I will show you three surprising reasons why you haven't been able to hit consistent 10K months and above and how to refocus your efforts to get better results. So head over to CourtneyElmer.com/CEO right now where you can learn more about that. Also, are we connected on Instagram yet? Listen, if you've ever got a topic idea that you want to see covered here on an upcoming episode, then send me a DM on Instagram at CourtneyElmer_. I love hearing input from listeners like you because that helps me to gear content toward what you're needing most in your life and business right now. And coming up next week on the show, we have got a very special episode for you. We're taking a look at this year in review and making our predictions for the future of entrepreneurship as we move into the year ahead. So make sure you share this show with your entrepreneur friends and join me right back here next week so you can learn how to continue becoming the effortless CEO your business needs to succeed. All right, until then, go live your effortless life. I'll see you back here next time.
As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop, where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.